Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, to another fantastic episode of the CNC Football Factory. This is your host, Carlos, the no-name Sardinius, joined by my co-host, CJ, the painkiller dispensing the medication as quickly as you could ask for it, D. Simone. CJ, what is going on, brother?
Oh, man. Just finished up with another day of work, ready to talk some Jets football. Jets got another trap game coming up versus Jacksonville, so looking forward to getting into it.
You know, the whole before we even get into the trap game, before we get into anything else, I have one thing I want to address. And specifically, this is the topic of Geno Smith as the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. What I want to address about that is apparently there's a segment of the fan base that doesn't allow for the fact that it's possible to be critical of Geno Smith while he was playing against Oakland and also recognize that the reason why we lost was not Geno Smith. It was the defense against Oakland. Absolutely guaranteed, you know what? Didn't have a prayer, but tell me watching that game, like physically watching it, not looking at the box score, but watching the game, tell me that you did not lose a little bit of air out of your lungs the second Ryan Fitzpatrick went out. Tell me. I don't care what the stats say. I don't care. The Jets did, too. Hell, Willie Colon pretty much said as much. The Jets also said, ugh, we're in for it. Did you have any confidence in anything Geno Smith was doing? I don't care what the stats say. I don't care about the stats. The stats looked okay towards the end because he was playing against basically a prevent defense.
Well,
It aggravates me that there's a segment of the fan base that basically just cheers against Ryan Fitzpatrick because, you know what? Geno Smith blew the starting job. You know why he blew the starting job? Because he didn't pay freaking IK and Kapali $600, got his jaw broken, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's led us to 4-2 at this point. And then he gets his thumb torn with the ligament. And then Geno Smith comes in, and I know everyone on the damn team thought the same thing I did. Here we go again, and guess what happened? I don't care what anyone says, that's what happened. It's not that he lost us the game, but he sure as hell didn't do anything to win us the game either.
Well, I have to say one thing. In regards to the game last week, all right, the air out of everyone – gear pretty much came out of everyone's sails in regards to what was going on because I mean if you take a look, I'm actually trying to say about six different things all at one time, so I'm just going to put it very, very blunt. The entire Jets fan base shit a pickle as soon as Ryan Fitzpatrick went down with an injury. Okay, I could guarantee you that there was about a good 70 to 75% of the fan base that's pro-Ryan Patrick, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm sorry, that essentially came together with a collective, oh, shit, okay?
Yes,
and then
yes.
When Geno Smith
exactly
came
right.
in, all right, you know, this is when, you know, you kind of held your breath because you said to yourself, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Geno Smith is going to be in. And you want to know something? I mean, a lot of people have been very critical of him. You know, and I have to say with plenty of reason to be critical of him because, let's face it, I mean, look, all right, truth be told, in starting at the beginning of training camp, all right, Geno Smith was having a lights-out camp. and he pretty much was going to win the starting job going into the first week of the season, okay? Up until the point when he got his jaw broken. And then essentially, Ryan Fitzpatrick was handed the reins, okay? There were people who were saying, bench Ryan Fitzpatrick after the Jets lost to Philadelphia. We were 3-1, okay? Now,
are you trying to make my blood pressure boil more than it is right now? Are you trying to?
No, I'm not. Essentially, the way that I'm putting it is like this, all right? Those people who want to sit here and to be critical of the fact that there are other people out there that are going to be critical of Geno Smith and the way he played, all right? Look, you take a look at my Twitter handle. I have been getting nothing but bashed and been called every name under the sun between a jerk to an asshole on Twitter because I've changed my Twitter handle to Cut Geno Smith Now. Plain and simple. Okay? And the reason being is because not because he came in and he did an okay job, not because I hate the kid and I don't want him to be a part of this team, is because of the fact that this kid had an opportunity to sit down behind Ryan Fitzpatrick and he had an opportunity to see what an NFL pro style quarterback in Chan Gailey's offense can do. Okay? And you want to know something? To me, watching the replay of Geno behind center, the replay of Geno under center, okay, he looks like to me he hasn't learned a damn thing.
Right.
I'm going to be honest.
Let me stop you right there because I have a point I want to make, and I want to make it before I forget it because I probably will, but I'm going to say it right now. Geno Smith's stats at the end of the game looked okay. Geno Smith in the second half looked okay. But when he took over in that first half, while there was still something to play for, was
no,
not
he looked
very
like a
good.
Deer
I don't care
headlights.
What anyone says. I don't care what
yeah.
anyone says. I don't care about the fact that he only had one interception in that game. He looked awful in the first half. As soon as he came in, it was like the deflator came out there, like one of the Patriots guys came out there and just popped the pin into the football on the entire Jets roster. So don't tell me that. No, Ryan Fitzpatrick gives the Jets the best chance to win, and you know what? He's starting tomorrow, which I'm very grateful for. But don't sit here and tell me, you know, oh, this is just a second chance for Geno Smith. No, this is like his 30th chance. And I was definitely pure Team Geno up until this offseason. But
right.
once I saw what was actually happening in the regular season, when the Jets team was winning and clicking offensively, I know there were some, you know, there were some miscues, and Fitzpatrick doesn't have the best arm. But you know what? He gives you a chance to score in the first half. And guess what we didn't do once Fitzpatrick was out, for the most part, in the first half, was score.
Yeah.
He got most of his stats in garbage time. So you're going to tell me that his stats against a prevent defense really matters all that much? Is that what
no,
you're basing
because
your
the
argument
game,
on? Or what? Or I'm about to have a freaking coronary right now. I'm sorry, because I got the same crap. But you know what? Fitzpatrick was 4-2. Geno barely won us any games. In fact, he actually has been the reason why we lost several games last year. And as much as I was Team Geno, no, I'm sorry. Fitzpatrick gives you the best chance to win. And here's the other thing you have to consider. This is not building for the future, Jets. This is... we're playing to win now, Jets. Look at the money we spent this offseason. We're not playing to win
right.
5 years from now. We're playing to win this year, next year. That's it. That's what we're looking to do. And that's not going to happen with Geno. Sorry. I've seen enough.
Well,
if you want
you know,
to delude yourself into thinking that he's the future, fine. But you know what?
No,
and your magical
I
unicorn
have to agree
can go
with
and
you.
Smoke the crack that you want to smoke.
I have to agree with you on several points. Number one, one of the biggest points is that the entire Jet fan base has grown impatient of watching Geno Smith develop. All right? I remember on our SoundCloud episode, which you actually made also available to Blog Talk Radio, you had said it didn't matter whether you were a team Fitzpatrick guy or a Team Geno guy, just jump on the bus and be a fucking Team Jets guy and root
Absolutely.
The team no matter what. fine. Yeah. That's exactly what I sat there and I did last week, was I sat there and rooted. I said, okay, you know, despite the fact we said, oh, great, here comes Geno Smith, all right, hopefully Geno could do something. I actually had a spark of optimism saying, okay, you know what, here's the opportunity for Geno to shut everybody up if he comes out there and he plays lights out. And you want to know something? Like you said, in the second half, he came out essentially when the issue was already pretty much pre-notified because the Jets were down 28-3 at halftime, all right, which was ridiculous. So there was nothing for them to play for, because in the second half, essentially, Jack Del Rio called off the dogs, and like you said, Geno Smith
you
played against a prevent
for two
defense.
Touchdowns under that situation? I mean, come on!
Right. Right. So, but nevertheless,
you know,
listen.
I'm not trying. I'm not trying to like cause any divisiveness or anything. But that's what the Geno lovers throw in your faces. Hey, he did okay in the second half. Well, Jesus Christ, a dog could have done great in the second half playing under those conditions. I'm not saying that, you know, if Geno's in, let's say Fitzpatrick was out. Let's just say his thumb had him, he was out, Geno was starting, I'd be behind him. But good God, I don't feel good about it. And if you do, you should probably check your own head, because there's something wrong with you, because there's 2 years of evidence to tell you you should not feel good about it.
Right. Well, actually, no, there's actually longer than that, because of the fact that, you know, we've been waiting to see this kid develop. And the thing is that here's the knock on Geno Smith. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The kid has got tremendous upside potential. He's got a gun of an arm. He can scramble in the legs. But the problem is, when it comes to the football IQ, I'm sorry to say, there's nothing but space between the ears. When it comes to reading defenses, when it comes to check down.
You know what a great arm was? Freaking Jamarcus Russell. That doesn't mean crap,
right.
Okay? It doesn't mean shit.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Hence the reason why, you know, I'm relieved to hear that Fitzpatrick is going to start this week, you know. But regardless, even if Fitzy couldn't go and Geno was starting, I would still be behind Geno. I'm still behind the Jets because I want them to win. But nevertheless, you know, we can't have division amongst the fan base because the Geno Smith apologists want to say, we'll take a look at his stats in the second half. Okay, because you know what? It's one thing if the Jets overcame the deficit and they lost by three.
No, no, you're right.
Okay, it's another thing.
That was a defecation.
It's another thing, too. All right, wait. Let me finish.
Sorry.
There's another thing if he would have led this team from behind, forced overtime, and we lost in overtime. Then we would totally be having a different conversation. Okay, but you want to know something? The bottom line is that the Jets defense shit the bed. The Jets' offense couldn't start putting any points on the board until Oakland started playing prevent defense. And you want to know something? I'm not going to put the blame solely on Geno Smith. I'm putting this as a total and complete other team failure from the top down. Todd Bowles has just as much to blame for not getting these people ready on the West Coast. I had said it. I expect them to come out. I expected them to come out pissed off because they lost against the Patriots and to take it out on Oakland, and they had a perfect chance to prove to the entire world that the fluke that was up in New England, that New England got lucky, okay, and they were able to pull it out at home. The Jets should have went to the West Coast and beat the absolute shit out of the fucking out of the Raiders. And you want to know something? They went over there and they had an absolute shit show, and it's completely unacceptable. And guys in the locker room had said that it was completely unacceptable. Okay, so now here's my thing. Okay, talk is cheap, because we've heard a lot of players in the past go to the media and shoot their mouth off about how there was a crappy effort by the defense, a crappy effort by the team. We've been hearing this bullshit from Rex Ryan. Okay, you know what? Come out against Jacksonville and win by 40. Okay, if you're that pissed off. Okay, put 6 touchdowns up on the board against this fucking shit show of a team. Okay, because this is a team, in all honesty, just like the Redskins. Okay, they've lost a few games. They've lost a lot of games in which they were close. I mean, hell, they almost lost they almost blew the damn Buffalo game in London, and they were up by 21 points. Okay, this is a team that the Jets should come out and just absolutely squash. No questions asked. top to bottom, an entirely better roster, entirely better coached, entirely better secondary, entirely better front seven. Blake Bortles should be sacked 10 times in this fucking game, okay? But what we think is going to happen and what's actually going to happen are two completely different animals. So I want to see... I want to see what kind of level of intensity this New York Jet team is going to come out against Jacksonville as to how are they going to snap this two-game losing streak. Show me. I'm tired of reading articles from ESPN. I'm tired of reading articles from NFLNetwork.com. I'm tired of reading articles from this jerk-off and that jerk-off who thinks they have a clue of what's going on. I want to see on the field what they're going to do against Jacksonville. Okay.
Right.
Because
okay.
You know what?
Okay.
Jacksonville is nothing to shake a stick at.
I got you. Hold on a second. There's a couple things I want to interject. One, right. I want to go back a little bit to Oakland because there was one big thing that happened defensively in Oakland that it still boggles my mind right now, which is when Calvin Pryor was basically out and we had Marcus Williams in there, and he has shown that he couldn't tackle a pinata. If he had all the sticks in the world, he couldn't tackle that pinata. And Marcus Williams out there at safety. I mean, that's on Todd Bowles, too. You know, preparation's on Todd Bowles, too. We expected – why would this team, coming off a very tough loss, I understand they're going across the country, but why would this team come out so flat that after the game, David Harris comes out and says, oh, yeah, people were loafing on defense. That's just as much as I used to call out Rex Ryan, guess what? Todd Bowles, you're called out too.
Very good.
Maybe it's not the coach. Maybe it's the players on the team. If we have two different coaches with two different styles, right, and the players mm-hmm. come out with the same lack of effort, maybe it's not the coach. I think it is, but what we see here in Jacksonville, that this is what I want to concentrate on for the next, 12 minutes or so we have, because we've been rambling about the Raiders' loss. What I want to see, and what I'm really concerned about, is the fact that Calvin Pryor is out again, and we're going to try to trot out something to replace that. And I hope it's not Marcus Williams again. I hope they give Deion Bailey another shot at least. I mean, Marcus Williams.
Yeah,
that was a
I understand Rontaze Miles
that
may be active for this game.
What's that?
I understand that Rontaze Miles might be active for this game because apparently I saw he was putting tweets on there that he was apparently told that he may be he's suiting up for this game.
Well, give me something. I mean, the second Calvin Pryor was out, it's like it's a different defense.
Right.
And
but you
know
see,
what?
Here's the other thing I wanted to say.
Remember a year ago when everyone was calling Calvin Pryor a bust?
Right.
He's one of the anchors of the defense now.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, that is correct. That is very correct.
Him and Mangold and Marshall are probably the three I'm most worried about on the injury report. It looks like Mangold's going to go. Obviously, we know that Pryor's not going to go, and Marshall's questionable, but I think he'll show up and play. But still, those are the three guys. On defense, I worry about Pryor more than anyone now.
Yeah,
because apparently he's the linchpin to that defense. If you look at the last two games, when he's in, when he's not, you see a gigantic shift.
Right. So probably something that McCagnan's going to look to address in the offseason. You know, this game right now is going to be the telltale sign. This game right now is gut check time. You have a chance to go 5-3, all right, against a team that on paper you should beat. And you shouldn't just beat like 28-24, 24-17. No, this is a team that you should stomp into the ground, okay? Because not only
that,
you also need to remember – you got this matchup, and then you got a Thursday night matchup at home against Buffalo. Okay? So you need to make sure that you take care of business this week because the last thing that you want to do is have Rex Ryan come into MetLife leading the Buffalo Bills and walk out of there with a victory and be able to flip off Woody Johnson from the owner's box. Okay?
It's just a funny image to me. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'll win this game. I think they will come back and be okay. I think most of the players have acknowledged. Here's what I really think. I think there's something beyond the box score. There's something beyond anything that anyone knows that was going on over there. And there's no beat writer that's going to tell you this. But there was something going on in the West Coast that just made it, I don't know, they were just off. I don't know if they just stayed out the night before. I don't know. But there was something that was just off about the team from the second they took the first snap. There was.
Right, there was.
I mean, I saw it. They couldn't tackle to save their lives. And you know what?
Right.
That I'm not going to put on anyone but the defense and the special teams, which has been god-awful anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's time to, like you said, gut check time. It's time to win. I want to talk a little bit about the weapons that we have to defend on Jacksonville's side, because they actually have a pretty good bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Bortles is a, on tape, he's actually not that great of a quarterback, but he's a volume quarterback, and he gets his points. He can throw around because he has to throw 40 times a game. But you have to watch out for Allen Robinson, who many expect will be on Revis Island. I don't know. He will be for most of the game, but I don't think he'll be shadowed necessarily. And then on the opposite side, Allen Hurns is going to be facing what I kind of consider to be, if not a hobbled Cromartie, then just an old Cromartie.
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie is going to have to step up because he can't continually, when he gets torched, look at the ref and say, hey, wait, where's my flag for push-off?
Well, is
okay,
there a
he just
flag
can't do
for
that.
Being old? Because that's basically what this is at this point. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. And, you know, Crow, I like Crow, but honestly, sometimes I think his name outweighs his actual production. And we've
no,
seen that.
I don't give a shit about the name, because you want to know something? When you put on that jersey, the name on the front is the hell of a lot more important than the front on the back. You show up to play, or you say to the coach, I can't go. And then it's next man in. You don't
well,
sit there and be douchebag.
He's
and
not
going to
say,
court.
Hey, you know what, I can't go because I'm old. You know he's not going to say that.
No, well then, you want to know something? Then it's up to, maybe Todd Bowles should sit him. Todd Bowles should sit him, start somebody else, or limit the amount of time that he's in the game. If he's that old and he's that slow, then you need to look for the better matchup. Sign somebody off the practice squad. I'm sure they got somebody over there who can do it.
Honestly, Marcus Williams could playing his actual position. Marcus Williams wouldn't be bad. Being put to play safety, which was basically just buffoonery in my estimation, made no sense. But Marcus Williams playing cornerback as his number two for the time being, not horrible. Him playing safety, retarded, but that's a different conversation for a different day. We only got a few minutes left. I wanted to touch on a few more weapons that they have that we have to worry about. Because it's not just those two, Allen Hurns and Robinson. Julius Thomas is back now at almost full strength. And you remember Julius Thomas was Peyton Manning's favorite target. He's going to be available. And you know what we give up is points and touches up the middle. Got to worry about that. And then T.J. Yeldon is a very good running back who took what was considered a pretty good running defense to task in London. So you have to watch out for him, although I think we'll be able to key in on Yeldon and keep him down. I think the defense overall will play better, but there's a lot of weapons to worry about. There's a lot.
Yep, you're right about that.
I would say more than actually Oakland's. The only difference is I think Oakland's quarterback is better than what Jacksonville has, but the weapons that Jacksonville has in Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, T.J. Yeldon, I would say the weapons are tougher. And we saw what happened with Crabtree. Crabtree ran fuck wild last week.
Well, that was because of the fact we took away Amari Cooper. So, but, you know, nevertheless, they had go-to weapons. But you see, the thing is, with Jacksonville, you still have Blake Bortles, who's still, you know, a little green at the position, even though they have a lot more weapons than they did last year. The Jets need to play smart. The defense needs to step up. They need to use that five-yard chuck rule, and they can't get burnt on stupid little plays. You have to play smart, and you most of all, you have to tackle. Okay? What's one of the biggest things that I had the issue with the defense, even before training camp, Carlos? You need to have guys in there that can stop guys at the point of attack, which means when you catch the ball, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 yards or 50, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get past me. Okay?
Yeah.
You may have already caught that ball, but you are not going any further. Plain and simple, guys who can tackle. Okay?
All right, here's one other point. Here's one other thing that I want to call out from what I saw actually the past few weeks. And, you know, as much as we have a great defensive line and all this, blah, 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 slurping some spooge kind of stuff, we haven't actually gotten to the quarterback or even close to the quarterback in several weeks now.
I know.
We're not getting a pass rush. There's no pass rush. I don't care how great in name the defensive line and the front seven is, the actual production is not there. And we saw that.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, we still need to get stuff done. You know, and the thing is that they can't sit there and let guys run past them, let guys burn them, and especially they need to be smarter about the decisions that they make. And this is something that, unfortunately, you know, our beloved Gangrene has been, you know, just the past couple of games, it just seemed like that losing that game in New England took the wind out of their sails, and you could tell in Oakland. You know, for as much as everybody was angry that they lost that game and they felt they should have won that game in New England, well, you know what? If you felt that you should have won that game, you need to take it out on your next opponent. Okay? You do practice, guys were flying around. And that's another thing.
Yeah, you don't come out like a three-legged cat against your next opponent. Of course.
Exactly. But this is the thing, too, that kind of irritates me about the media and about sometimes just the over-exaggeration of practice, okay? Remember something. Just because Geno goes, you know, 11 for 14 and throws two touchdown passes in 7-on-7 drills or 11-on-11 drills against his own defense, okay, doesn't mean, oh, that he's going to come out and he's going to light up the opposition, okay? Ryan Fitzpatrick, same way. Okay, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about, oh, well, guys had a great practice, and this should be good, and we should be encouraged, and blah, 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 blah. Because you want to know something? You don't hear any other person talk, any other team in the NFL talk about practice except for injuries, when somebody gets hurt at practice, okay? You don't hear, oh, well, Geno Smith looked good. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick looked good. Oh, my God. Chris Ivory found his penis and his testicles again. Woo! So, you know, it's like, okay,
what?
Can we...
Were they lost?
You know, well, it seemed like they were in Oakland when he was running for 2 yards in a cloud of dust. And then on top of it, he wanted to blame it on the offensive line and say, we need better blocking up front, but I don't want to get started on that. So, because we only got a couple of minutes left. So, you know, nevertheless, we need to have an overall team effort against Jacksonville at home. It's a very, very important game. Like I said before, it's gut check time. The Jets need to wake up because if they don't, they're going to be 4-4, and they're going to be fighting with about 8 other teams for 2 wild card spots.
I can't get over the lost testicle and penises thing. I'm like, that's just funny. You know, on behalf of the lost testicles and penis, I want to say they've been recovered, and I think they'll come back around this week and actually do a pretty good job. I don't know about the rest of Ivory, but his penis and testicles should do great. They should have a bang-up game.
All right. Well, we got about a minute left, so let's
just end
let's
it.
Take
I
this
mean,
out.
Come on. We can't top the penis testicles talk, can we? No. No, that's it. It's
yeah,
over.
Of course not.
It's over.
Well,
all right, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, well, enjoy the Jets game tomorrow versus Jacksonville. All right, Carlos and I will catch you next weekend as we dissect the not only this game, but probably the New York Jets-Buffalo game as well. Don't forget, Thursday night. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at CNC Jets Factor. Throw us an email, cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. Hit my partner in crime up, CSS Sardinas, on Twitter, myself, at JetsFan0523. And then check out my Twitter account for what my interesting handle might be this week. So, with that, this has been the CNC Football Factory. Let's leave you with some music.
Up in life.